刮胡万胡刮胡那胡那胡胡胡那胡胡胡胡阿达米勒勒阿米那。
Broadcasting from high above the reserve, this is Radio Harambe. Jambo, everyone, and welcome to episode 10. Of Radio Harambe. That's right, episode 10. It's like the first milestone, you know? We're the official podcast of JomboEveryone.com and the unofficial podcast of Disney's Animal Kingdom and Walt Disney World. Before we get started, let me take a second for a plug, talk about our travel partner, Jennifer Green from Destinations in Florida. Jen is an expert on booking Disney vacations and can help with every aspect of planning process. But even more important, it costs you nothing extra to use her service, and every booking means Jen makes a donation to our conservation partners, those people working tirelessly to save endangered species. So go to JomboEveryone.com and click the Destinations in Florida icon, or you can email Jen directly, JenniferG@DestinationsInFlorida.com. On this show, we will discuss the news from the Animal Kingdom and the rest of Walt Disney World, and then in our feature section, we will talk about booking FastPass Plus for Disney's Animal Kingdom. I am Dave McBride, coming to you from the Radio Harambe studios. And joining me from somewhere in the world, a man who climbed Kilimanjaro only to get a better photo angle of a herd of giraffes, it's Safari Mike. Mike, how are you?
Jumbo Dave, how are you?
Well, you know, we're getting there.
I am at the Masola Peninsula, which is a lovely little place in Madagascar. Have you ever been there?
No, I've never been to that part of Madagascar.
It's up in the upper northeastern section of it. It's this beautiful peninsula with rainforest, and it's the only place where you'll find red-ruffed lemurs, although you'll sometimes find them at Discovery Island in the Animal Kingdom.
Yes, you will.
They're highly endangered. They're very localized. They're only found in this small little place. They're beautiful. They're gorgeous red coats, very fluffy-looking, and I know kids love them. But that's where we're here to study them.
Really cool. So let's start with the news, shall we?
Sure.
And the news from the Animal Kingdom. And I want to start it off with this. Today, actually, we're recording this on Thursday, September 26th. And we're kind of coming to you a little late on this one, because today at the Animal Kingdom was Elephant Appreciation Day. It's one of those things that we've talked about in the past where the Animal Kingdom does some stuff mostly for kids about, you know, different kind of activities and fun stuff about learning about elephants. But I wanted to mention it because also today, a few other things regarding the conservation of elephants hit the news. For one thing, the Clinton Global Initiative, an organization who we happened to mention last time, they pledged $80 million out of their initiative for action against helping to stop the ivory trade. And with that, the WCS, which stands for the Wildlife Conservation Society, correct?
Correct, and it's affiliated with the Bronx Zoo, correct.
Right. The WCS announced that they are going to be putting together a petition, an action plan, which they call 96 Elephants, and that's because an average of 96 elephants are killed a day in Africa for poaching. Man, that is a scary number, but there are literally thousands are lost, and the population itself has declined in the last 25 years, 35 years, something in the range of 75 to 80% of elephants in Africa. And they are, what they're doing is, if you go to the WCS.org, you'll see it right on the homepage, and they're wanting a petition for those of us who are interested in saving elephants. Sign a petition to get the U.S. government to enact a moratorium, essentially a ban, on the sale of ivory. You'd be surprised to know that the U.S. is one of the biggest ivory markets in the world. And, you know, what they want to do is essentially lessen the demand for ivory, which causes the poaching of elephants. So go to WCS.org. If you weren't able to get to the Animal Kingdom today and celebrate Elephant Appreciation Day, that seems like the best and, you know, easiest thing to do to at least help out in some way, shape, or form.
Yeah, and it's also a lesson to read the blog at jumboeveryone.com because we had information about the Elephant Day a few days ago, so you could have been prepared for it.
Absolutely, absolutely.
Yeah, our news comes out a lot quicker there, right?
Yeah, of course.
But I love these little days that, you know, we've talked about this before in the past. I know there's another one coming up in November for rhinos. October 31st, I know previewing this, is Bat Day. It's always Bat Day on Halloween.
Yeah, that's cool.
So they do like these little things. They're a lot of fun. You know, I've said it before that nobody's going to plan a trip to Disney World for Elephant Day. But, you know, if you're down this week, maybe that's the day you do Animal Kingdom to check out some stuff. They usually do a lot of fun little things.
Sure. And if you don't want to fight the crowds at the Magic Kingdom for Halloween, man, there's a unique thing to do on Halloween. That's for sure.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
But let's talk about the ivory thing for just a second. Sure. Elephants are poached for the ivory. Is it still cosmetic reasons?
For jewelry and stuff?
Yeah.
Yeah, for the most part. Yeah.
Okay. Well, 96 elephants a day.
It's a shocking number when you think about it.
It really is. I mean, the number is in the thousands of elephants that are killed a year.
Well, when you think about it, it's like 300 a month.
Yep. Yeah, it's funny. Yeah. It's unbelievable.
That's just Africa. Forget Asia.
Yeah, I mean, it's crazy. So if you go to WCS.org, you'll be able to see the information, put your name on there. And like Mike said, it's the Conservation Society that's associated directly with the Bronx Zoo. I believe it comes from the Bronx Zoo.
Yeah, it originated from there, and their headquarters are there. And they do a lot of different field research things. I think that Disney's Wildlife Conservation Fund does help.
Yes.
The Wildlife Conservation Society. It's one of the bigger ones that actively have hundreds of programs of different field research and, you know, conservation things.
All over the world,
getting national parks built. You know, a lot of the biologists who are actually doing field research, a lot of them are through the Wildlife Conservation Society. So it is a great organization.
Now, on a slightly less heavy subject, but yet still a petition to do what we can.
Very political. Very political episode today.
Our next cause of action is dolewhipdaily.com?
Something like that.
Dole Whip Daily is a blog. And if you search the name, I'm not sure if it's a Dole Whip Daily .blogspot. I was just reading it today. I should know it. I really should have put this information in here, but you'll find it. Use the Google machine. And
I'm looking at it right now. DoleWhipDaily.com.
Excellent. So DoleWhipDaily.com is starting a petition that we're going to need your help with. From what I can understand, and I'm sure the band would never say this, the Buridika band has a CD that they're waiting to sell. And according to the Dole Whip Daily, they're being held up, or at least in some way, we don't know what it really is. Could just be red tape. We have no idea. But we want to sign this petition so that Disney understands that we are waiting very patiently for this CD to come out. And if you look for the Buridika band, which they also, when they're not, the band, when it's not at the park, is called Wassalu. Wassalou, if I'm not mistaken. And you could find them on Reverb Nation. And there are some great little samples of the music that I would assume is going to be on the CD. I don't know that for sure. They don't say that on there. But this petition is for those of us who are diehard fans of the Buridika band to let Disney know we want this CD available, preferably in Zawani Traders or the Mombasa Market.
Yep.
Either one could be anywhere. We don't care. So make it available for us to buy. DoleWhipDaily.com will help you with that one. You know what? The problem is, I feel like I was even more passionate about the Buridika band than I was about the elephant thing. That's terrible. I'm really not. Our next thing is actual news. This is not a a political cause to action.
No petitions.
No petition here. Last week we had we mentioned about a possibility that was reported by somebody on WDW Magic, I think, about the Dawa Bar moving. Now, the report was that the Dawa Bar was going to move up a bit to make way for Festival of the Lion King's new theater, which has been announced. Disney has not officially said, at least as far as I can tell, Disney has not officially said anything about the Dawa Bar moving, and they have not announced any other changes to outside of the Festival of the Lion King. However, it appears that even now, the report said that it should have begun by now, and it hasn't. But Mike, you're under the understanding that it's going to anyway.
Yeah.
And that it may possibly include a little bit more than just moving a bar.
Correct. I mean, from what little birds have told me.
What species of bird exactly? Is it endangered? Do you find them in Madagascar?
You can only find them in Harambe.
Oh, I see.
That behind that wall, which and if you see some of the construction footage back there, it's there's a lot of space being cleared back there along the river and where they're putting Festival of the Lion King. You may be getting a lot more than just a new theater for Festival of the Lion King. I have heard rumblings that there could be some merchandise, which wouldn't shock anybody.
No.
Lion King or something like that. I'd be shocked if they didn't do that.
Right.
A quick service area for food, which I don't know if that means like a little kiosk like you have along the area for between Asia and Africa, or like a full blown seating indoors kind of counter service.
Okay,
and even perhaps a full service another additional sit down restaurant in Harambe, and multiple merchandise stores. And even possibly even where the Starbucks is going. There's a lot going on back there. There's a lot of space being cleared. Now, that's not to say eventually that's what's going to happen, because we all know budget cuts. Right. You know, Beastly Kingdom turned into Camp Mini Mickey because of budget cuts.
Right.
So who knows? But it's interesting that there's a lot going on back there. It's also interesting that they're clearing space along the river, which, by the way, will create a lot more viewing space for anything they want to do on the river. Rivers of Light, hint, hint, hint.
Okay.
So it's interesting.
Yeah, let's not get too ahead. Let's talk about these individually here, the ideas that you're hearing. First of all, quick service makes a lot of sense because there's only one there now, and it's pretty small. So if we're going, right. So if we're going to be assuming that we're going to have a huge traffic influx, which, let's face it, Festival of the Lion King brings a lot of people in and out of that area,
mm-hmm.
and it's going to do the same here. So let's assume that that's going to include a Lion King merchandise store, which is bizarrely missing from.
Yeah, exactly.
From the current Animal Kingdom, right? So so we imagine that's going to happen. The quick service makes a lot of sense. The space the interesting thing with me is that the first thing that comes to my mind is that the space that the Dawa Bar currently occupies,
yeah.
Or certainly all the space in front of it, is a space that once was used for a counter service Tusker House seating. Right?
Correct.
And
correct.
It's always been really a little large.
Right.
So as much as I would like open air seating to continue in Animal Kingdom, because that's kind of authentic, that space is prime real estate, certainly when the Festival of Lion King opens up, and it will certainly, that one spot will be turned into something. Now, I don't think there's enough space in just there alone to build a restaurant or, to have a kitchen and that kind of thing. So that might be the merchandise area. But the thing that sticks out in my mind in all of this is that if this is to be believed, then the construction going on behind the current Tusker House looks mm-hmm. like it might involve a lot more than just a pathway to a theater and a theater. It looks like we may be kind of remapping Harambe a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, it's almost, I mean, if what I'm hearing is actually true, Harambe is essentially doubling in size.
Right. So we're building on a good thing there.
Sure.
I like that idea. And the other thing I wanted to mention was, now we have lots of plans for shows. And one of those plans for shows is we're going to come up with, you know, we're going to do our own sort of Imagineering ideas. And one of the things that I've always said, anybody who reads the blog will know this, is that I think what Disney is really missing out at the Animal Kingdom, in order to make it a nighttime mainstay, if we are to agree that that's what Disney wants, I'm not 100% sure that's the case, but if we agree that Disney wants the Animal Kingdom to become a nighttime mainstay, then it really needs a signature restaurant. A destination restaurant. A restaurant that people want to come just to.
So almost like the Animal Kingdom's version of Le Cellier or the VR Guest restaurant.
Exactly. That's exactly what I'm saying. So they need to... That's the next step. That, to me, is more a logical step to getting to that point than almost anything besides sort of a nighttime closing parade or event.
Right.
Because, you know, people aren't going to come back to the Animal Kingdom for a show at 8 o'clock or a show at 9 o'clock if they can't eat dinner at 6 o'clock in the destination they're looking to go to. So they have some dinner locations there now, but you need that one big one that people clamor for. And imagine one, Mike, on the river where the Rivers of Light would go down.
Yeah, it'd be awesome. That would be awesome. A nice, I'm assuming it would have to be some sort of African cuisine.
Sure, could be.
I mean, I just ate at an Ethiopian restaurant last weekend. That was amazing. That'd be fun. I agree with you. I mean, they have to build maybe even additional bar areas. I mean, the Dawa bar is kind of small. I'm assuming that's going to stay. I mean, it'll probably just move out closer to the pathway, I guess, and be a little bit more of a, you know, easier viewing for the people as they're walking by. But there's really not a lot of space. It's the small bar, relatively speaking.
Right.
As is the Yak and Yeti. Whatever they build along the river, I mean, an additional bar space for people who just want to sort of hang out or whatever would be prime. I think they would need to do that.
Well, it's the Dawa Bar is a great. I love the Dawa Bar. It's a great place to go and sit down. It's hardly a bar. I mean, it's basically just a drink stand now. I mean, there aren't a lot of seats to sit in and around and talk to the bartender. There's only a few. So if they build one,
the bartender talks to you. Just ask Keith.
We talked about that last week. but if they could use that waterfront area, I mean, imagine the clamor for reservations.
Right.
A half an hour before the parade or before the Rivers of Light, you can see it from your outdoor dining.
Oh, if there's like a patio out there.
Exactly.
You could just watch the floats go by, whatever it is.
Exactly.
The sail barges or whatever it is. I mean, it's prime real estate. And, you know, not to jump too far ahead, but you can easily do something where you could do that around Avatar, too. You know, another... You know, that's all open space there that they have not really used the river for Camp Mini Mickey, but you can easily incorporate it into an Avatar land where you can, again, watch the parade, you know, whatever they put on the water. I mean, they could really do something with that.
With big blue men.
Yeah. The other thing about the Dawa Bar, not to change the topic too much, too quickly on you, but apparently it's getting a new menu.
Yeah.
Which is happening in October sometime. So I'm curious. I hope they keep, I love the sugar cane mojito. They better keep that.
What is Keith drink? It's something beer that's was it an Ethiopian beer that's actually from Heineken or something?
Yeah, Anheuser-Busch or whatever. They do have African beer there.
For those of you who don't know what we're talking about, in the last episode we spoke to Keith of the Disney Hipsters who joined us, and he had quite a story to tell about the Dawa Bar, which is worth going back and listening to.
Yeah, absolutely. If you haven't heard it yet, go back.
So did we cover everything on that?
I think so.
Okay.
I think
so. All right. So the last piece of local news is we ran a contest over the last couple of weeks, and we got some great answers, great response to it. We got a handful of correct answers, and the winner of the Disney Nature hardcover book which is a gorgeous book about the chimpanzee movie, is Brian Martzoff.
Woohoo!
So, Brian, congratulations. All the correct answers were very scientifically put into... I had to sit here and write them all on a piece of paper. And then my wife pulled them out of my JomboEveryone.com hat. And she chose Brian Martzoff. And for some reason, she was happy for him. She doesn't even know who he is, but she was happy for him. So, Brian, just email me your information, and we will get that out to you. And thanks to everybody for participating, and we hope you enjoy the book. And we are coming up on our first break here. We're going to come back in just a minute with the world news on Radio Harambe. At the Jumbo Everyone store, you can purchase fun and stylish apparel and merchandise, all while helping save wildlife. At Radio Harambe and JomboEveryone.com, we are committed to doing everything we can to help our conservation partners who are on the ground working to keep endangered animals from extinction. So with every purchase made at the store, we will donate 50% of the profits to our partners. You'll find t-shirts, hats, iPad covers, tote bags, and much more. And all the items are customizable to fit your size, taste, and budget. We have great Jumbo Everyone logo merchandise, plus some really exciting animal designs featuring cheetahs, rhinos, gorillas, macaws, and zebras. Go to JomboEveryone.com and click the banner for the store and help us in our conservation efforts. Welcome back to Radio Harambe. It is time for the world news, the news from the rest of the Disney world. And with that is Safari Mike. What you got this week?
Sure. I got some interesting stuff. Let's start off with a refurb. Splash Mountain, which almost always goes down for a couple weeks or at least during the winter break, is going down for an extended refurbishment. It's going to be down from January 6th to March 21st. So it's 2.5 months, which is unusual to me because it just went down for a relatively long refurbishment where they redid a lot of the stuff, including, some of the effects. It's like brand new, and all of a sudden they're putting it down for 2.5 months. So
yeah,
if you're going in the winter to early spring, you might not get on Splash Mountain.
You know, I'm a person who often goes in that time frame, so I have spent many a vacation without Splash Mountain, unfortunately. That means the times I do go, I do like to try to ride it as much as I can. However, it is extended. There's no doubt. It's usually down for a matter of a couple of weeks. But you know what? High-powered water is just not something conducive to lasting for a very long time. So it doesn't surprise. I wouldn't expect it, even though it's a little bit longer, I don't expect much to be changed other than maintenance. There's just so much plumbing that goes on there and so much paint required to keep the stuff from corroding away. And it's unbelievable, really, when you think about it.
I just think it's unusual that there's going down for extended refurb.
Certainly is.
Especially 2 years in a row. I mean, for years, it was just a couple of weeks or 3 weeks or whatever.
Right. But my point is that you never know what could have happened. The changes they made could have adversely affected something in there that needed to be worked on again. It's just that, you add water to these things and you never know what's going to happen. It's just that simple.
All right. Next one.
Yeah, we're ready.
All right. This is a fascinating one. I know you love My Magic Plus stories.
Oh, boy.
So apparently they've started construction on the My Magic Plus entrance to the Epcot International Gateway over by England.
Oh,
as far as I know, I think this is the last of the quote-unquote entrances to get these. And it should be ready to rock and roll pretty soon.
It's the last one to get a new system that won't... Well, never mind. Never mind. Okay. We'll save that for some other day.
All right, move on. Festival of Fantasy, which is the parade coming early next year to the Magic Kingdom. They previewed two new floats for it recently. And if you're if you want to go on to WWNT, I believe has the flow, you know, the concept art. One is of Ariel, and it essentially is her in a seashell with, you know, surrounded by all sorts of singing fish and, you know, Flounder and Sebastian. And the other one that they previewed is for Meridia from Brave, which is actually kind of a cool one. It's like a giant bagpipe where she's standing on these giant bagpipes, and, you know, the bears are there and stuff. They actually look, I have to admit, the Festival of the Fantasy Parade really looks kind of cool. It's better than some of the other parades they've busted out in recent years, and I think this is a definite upgrade if you're into parades.
This is the new Magic Kingdom one.
Correct, the new Magic Kingdom one. Right. Essentially, it's going to come, I believe, in February, it looks like. From what I can see, after the Christmas ones are done, they're going to have the Celebrated Dream Come True parade that'll be back for almost, it looks like, just like a week before Festival of Fantasy comes back on for a few weeks later. So there'll be a period of time where there's no afternoon parade at the Magic Kingdom, but... you know, you might enjoy that to be able to get around.
Yeah.
So there are a few they've announced that they're
going to show what you feel about afternoon.
Yeah, floats for Dumbo, Sleeping Beauty, and Pinocchio that they have not shown concept art yet. But you know, sooner or later you'll see them. But it's actually looks like, I have to say, it looks like a pretty cool parade.
Well, yeah, I'm looking at the concept art now. Yeah,
the Brave one's kind of cool. I like that.
Yeah, the Brave one's off the wall. It's a little goofy. It's a little cool. I like that. Yeah.
Yeah, the Ariel one is whatever.
The Ariel one is what I expect.
Yeah, it's fine, but I like the Meridia one.
It's also concept art, which means it's going to be a lot more ornate than what you're actually going to get.
Right. That's fair. That's fair. But I like the direction they're going.
Yeah. Let's Very cool. Very cool. What's next?
All right, let's talk about changes to the resort pools. This is a story which has a very unfortunate beginning.
Right.
If all of you remember the little boy that drowned at Pop Century a few months ago now, we had suspected this may be coming, as many of you probably know. The pools essentially had lifeguards until about 9 o'clock or 10 o'clock, depending on the time of year. And then you were allowed to use the pools at your own risk. And, you know, this little boy... you know, was swimming after lifeguard hours. Well, starting soon at some of the value resorts, Pop Century and the All Stars, I believe, there's going to be, the pools will be open from 7 a.m. to 11 p.m. and then they're going to close. No more. You're allowed to swim without the lifeguard there at your own risk. Right. They're ceasing that. Those resorts that actually have quiet pools, you know, most of the deluxe do, where they don't ever have lifeguards. They will remain open full time, you know, 24 hours. They won't be affected. But the main pools at all these resorts, eventually by the end of November, will all be only when the lifeguards are there.
You know, when you think about it, it's probably the last at your own risk thing that was still around in Disney.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
So it was only a matter of time. So it is what it is. I mean, I'm not somebody who goes in the pool at night. I know a lot of people do, not me.
I have before. It's fun.
It's fine. It's just not something I'm going to, you know, I won't be able to live without.
Yeah, yeah.
And 11 o'clock is pretty late.
That, you know, they do say that's, you know, for the season. So, you know, if you're going there in January.
Right.
I'm not sure if you'll be swimming at night in January anyway. I mean, it does get kind of cold there.
Of course.
But if you're there, you know, in April, I mean, I don't know how late it's going to be. I mean, who knows? I guess we're probably going to see. But, you know.
Makes sense.
That's what we are.
Cool.
Two more stories real quick.
Okay.
Minnie Mouse has a new meet and greet at Disney's Hollywood Studios. For you fans of meet and greets, it's down at the Magic of Disney Animation, as I'm sure many of you know. The lower floor there always has meet and greets. And right now, I know they have Wreck-It Ralph characters down there now. They usually have the latest Disney animated characters down there. I'm sure Frozen will be there sooner or later. But they've built a very ornate area for her. It's actually kind of interesting. I kind of like it. When you're in line, you see these caricatures of Oswald and Clarabelle and Mickey Mouse that almost look like the Brown Derby kind of caricatures.
Right.
And they also have these awesome movie posters, which have...
That's cool.
Minnie Pop'ems The Jungle Crew, all these movies that, you know, Minnie Mouse allegedly starred in. There's The Jungle Cruise starring Mickey and Minnie, and a lot of them have references to Imagineers. I know Harper Goff is in one of them, and some of the Nine Old Men are referenced in some of these other.
Sure.
Casamousa is one of them. It's kind of interesting. And then in her, the meet and greet itself is supposed to be her dressing room. So there's all these awards, you know, these Academy Award type things, and you meet and greet. Now, the perhaps the most interesting thing of all of this is that apparently, sooner or later, not currently, but soon, this is going to be for FastPass Plus only. You'll have to have a FastPass Plus for this.
Here we go.
To get in. Yes. Here we go is right. You know, we've talked about this a little bit last week, where there are certain places not named Magic Kingdom where some people might have trouble figuring out what they want to use that third Fast Pass for.
Yep.
Well, Disney's might be forcing your hand by putting these ornate meet and greets that are for Fast Pass Plus only.
That's what it sounds like to me.
Yep. So even though it really looks cool, I have to give them credit. They designed it well. The movie posters are really cool. But it's FastPass Plus only. Right now it's not, but pretty soon it will be.
I think they're cool. And I think the one they did in the Animal Kingdom is cool. And I think they've done a few of these. I'm just not a big fan of this trend. I just think character meet and greets belong on Main Street USA or in, you know, they belong as part of the fabric of what you're looking at. You know, if you're in Disney, in the Animal Kingdom, you're going to see animals and people in safari outfits. If you're in, you know, what happened to the days of astronaut Goofy and Pluto, you know, and in Tomorrowland and stuff like that. That's what I don't like about this trend for building meet and greets and herding the meet and greets into a certain section. I understand why they're doing it. I certainly understand the purpose of this one in particular. But I just don't like the trend in general, you know.
I like a mixture. I mean, I don't really mind the meet and greets area when they're ornately designed like this one, like the one in Town Square where you meet Mickey and it's very ornate queue and all that kind of stuff.
Right.
But I don't want them to get rid of completely. All of a sudden there's...
Yeah, the spontaneous ones, yeah. Right.
You know, all of a sudden there's Donald Duck, you know, walking down Sunset Boulevard. Hey, meet and greet for half an hour or so.
That's what I like.
Yeah, they need to continue to do that. I don't mind having these type of things like, you know, the Safari Mickey and the Adventurer's Outpost or the Princess Fairy Tale Hall. I have all this ornate decoration. Little girls might go crazy for it and meet Rapunzel or whatever. I'm fine with that as long as they keep the... more, you know, all of a sudden there's Cinderella's stepsisters walking down, you know, Fantasyland or whatever, and meet and greet real quick. I mean, I think they need to keep both.
I agree. And is that, we have one left?
We have one more. The GAC cards, GAC, guest assistance cards, that were used by people who have disabled children or just disabled.
Yeah.
Or whatever it is, where you could essentially just get in the front of the lines because, you know, those particular guests could not really handle waiting in lines. Well, those are being going bye-bye. Then they're being replaced on October 9th, apparently, with disability access service cards, which are much more restricted for the people who need them. They're much more like FastPass. So you book essentially times for people to go into whatever various attraction. You get to the front of the line, apparently, but it's more of a FastPass type of thing. You just don't have free reign to go wherever you want. You have to have a photo ID. You know, the person who needs the assistance has to be in the party has to be with you when you're going. They have to be obtained, apparently, at guest relations. You can't do it ahead of time or anything like that. They're being very restrictive, and I'm sure many of you know, there was a story that broke earlier this year of people who are actually hiring disabled, quote-unquote, tour guides to, with their GAC cards, to, you know, tour you around the park and essentially get into all the, you know, it's basically buying your way into the front of the line throughout the park. Disney has clamped down on that.
Yes, folks, you heard Safari Mike correctly. Those of you who did not see this news story, and it did make the news, local and national, in fact, Mike, the kids that I coach who are at a school in Pennsylvania, were aware of this story and where it was part of their sort of current events thing a few weeks, you know, whenever in the spring, I think it was. People have been paying disabled or we assume they're disabled. We don't know. Maybe people posing as disabled people.
Well, no, I mean,
I don't know. I don't know enough about it, but people have been paying them so to pose as their family members so that they don't have to wait in line at a Disney ride. Wrap your mind around that nonsense for just a minute. So for those of you who have disabilities and who have not abused any system, you have those folks to thank for this now.
Yeah, it's so ridiculous. I mean, insert
your what they have to do.
I guess. I mean,
I don't know if it's what they have to do, but it's a response.
It is a response to it, absolutely.
To something that was public, that everybody knows about, you know?
I mean, I have to be honest. I mean, I've been to the parks many times. You know, I've been there plenty of times. I don't know if I've ever seen anybody actually use a GAC card.
Oh, and there's certainly not a rash of people, you know, running around with...
It didn't really affect my life. I mean, these kids who have, like, severe autism. I mean, we're not talking about people with ADHD or...
Right, exactly.
We're talking with kids with severe... And not just kids, but adults. With severe issues that... really need to, they can't wait in line.
No,
they just can't wait
in line.
Sorry.
Of course.
And, you know, just making it more difficult for them to tour the park. I mean, I do blame, you know, these, what again, insert curse word here, people who, you know, use this to their advantage. And, like, just, it's despicable. But, you know, maybe, was it all that big of a deal? I mean, can't Disney just sort of investigate these people?
That is the question. Yeah, that is the question.
I don't know. I mean, it just, I don't, you know, I mean, there are people who need this stuff.
Right.
And we shouldn't hinder them from really enjoying the park.
I agree 100%.
But anyway, that's that story.
And that's it for the world news, correct?
It is indeed.
All right, we are going to take another break. Be back on Radio Harambe in just a second.
Yayo, Africa.
Wasa lele,
Africa.
Wasa lele.
Thanks for sticking around on Radio Harambe. I am Dave McBride. Joining me from someplace in Madagascar is Safari Mike.
Masulu Peninsula.
That's the one. And we are now into our feature section of the show.
Yes.
And this afternoon, I came home to a Disney Destinations envelope waiting on my front door.
Oh, no.
And it has a picture of Mickey Mouse, who seems to be celebrating something fabulous, along with a yellow dog next to him. With a envelope in his mouth, which happens to have Mickey ears on it, which is strange. Mickey got his own mail sent to him from him, but that's neither here nor there. And it says, "Welcome home, McBride family." We won't go into the spelling. And your upcoming Disney Resort hotel guest. As an upcoming Disney Resort hotel guest, you can help us test a new way to experience Walt Disney World. I'll be darned. Resort before we share it with the rest of the world. It's a new collection of magical tools we're calling My Magic Plus. Now, I'm sure none of you have heard about this, so we're going to try to go through this. I'm not going to go through this. So I got this today. Now, I may be the only person who has received this without already booking his FastPass pluses reservations?
Yeah, I mean, I already had my FastPass. I already had my Magic Bands. I already had my FastPass plus reservations, and then I got the invite.
Okay,
which is essentially the same as getting an invitation to a wedding about 3 days after the wedding occurred.
Exactly. So I won't give them a complete pass because the only reason why I don't have those things is because I really haven't been convinced I want to take part in it. So. Mike has done this. He has not yet experienced the park using this.
Nope.
So I have to take a little bit of it with a grain of salt, because I am certain there is going to be some sort of technological meltdown he has to experience on the road. But we're not going to make any snarky assumptions. So what we thought we'd do in our feature section here is to give you some tips about FastPass Plus that we've kind of compiled through Mike's own experiences and through lots of people that we've talked to about it as well. You know, FastPass Plus at Disney's Animal Kingdom. Okay. So, Mike, the first question is,
sure,
do I want this? And why wouldn't I?
Why wouldn't you want it?
Yes.
That's a good question. Well, first of all, it was very aggravating, but I'm not going to go into the details about getting the magic bands and all that kind of stuff. We covered that on
yes,
the last
we did.
Episode, and I talked about it on the Mickey Mutineers that I guested on last week. So
listen to that one, yeah.
So I'm done complaining about my Disney experience. Let's just talk FastPass Plus. Why I wanted to do it, I can tell you why I wanted to do it. Number one is I wanted to be able to give it a shot. I wanted to try it, maybe talk about it here, because I think sooner or later, I mean, they're really starting to test them now. I mean, all the resorts are going to be testing them by the end of next month. So our listeners who are going to be going to Disney in November, December, January are going to be faced with this reality of FastPass Plus. So any help we can give them, in at least in the Animal Kingdom, I mean, I thought it would be worth my time to go ahead and be sort of a guinea pig for everybody.
That's okay. Good. We need
number
a guinea
two,
pig.
Number two, I was fascinated by it. I kind of like the concept. I, for one, and you know this, but maybe our listeners don't. I mean, we would go. I have two small children. We would often go with my parents, sometimes in much larger groups. So a lot of times we
would
the first thing we would do is, okay, everybody give me your passes. I'm going to go get fast passes for Everest. I'll meet you at Kilimanjaro Safari. It made no sense for the 6, 10, whatever it was of us to all slowly walk over to Expedition Everest. I would hoof it over there, get everybody's fast pass, and meet them back at Kilimanjaro Safari. This really helps me in terms of I don't have to do that anymore. You know, we book it ahead of time. So I liked the concept. There are some big flaws, which we'll get to in a second. But for those two reasons, I liked it. Now, you, do you rope drop?
Yep.
Okay. If you don't rope drop, this is better. This is definitely much better than for people who don't necessarily rope drop or even want to rope drop. I was the kind of guest who didn't really use fast passes too much. You know, I kind of rope dropped, did my thing, grabbed a fast pass or two during the course of the day. But generally speaking, I don't go in, you know, July 4th or Christmas week. So it was never all that busy. So, you know, I would use a fast pass or two a day usually.
Okay.
So this seemed perfect for me. I'll grab three. I mean, three was plenty, and we'll get to that in a minute.
Okay.
But those are the reasons I did do it. Now, why don't you want to do it? I don't know. Why don't you want to do it?
Well, the first thing is the obvious stuff that we are glossing over here, but we haven't in previous shows, which is the dependence on Disney's technology system to book these things, which I have yet to hear anyone say, oh, that went great.
Well, let me tell you about that. I mean, I had my disaster, which is well covered, well documented. But that was only a disaster in getting all the people linked together on my Disney experience, and all of our hotel reservations, everybody in the same room, and blah 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 blah.
Right.
Once I got all that, and they said, "Okay, now you can book FastPass Plus," that was relatively easy, and I will go through how that's done in a moment. But that was not bad. It's a little strange, and you need to know a couple of things, but it's not bad.
Okay, so for instance, in this wonderful little piece of marketing that I received today, it links a reservation confirmation number that is linked to this. Now, I haven't gone on to my reservations yet to look at it, but I'll tell you this. I have more than one, and I have more than one confirmation number. So already, I'm preparing myself for something not to work as smoothly as I would hope it to work.
Yeah, that's exactly the problem I had. We have, as we covered before, I had six people going, two rooms, two at Kidani, two at Wilderness Lodge, And for some reason, they lost. I mean, I still had it on my DVC website, the Kidani, both Kidani confirmation numbers, but for some reason, they could not get it over to My Disney Experience without hours of work. I mean, they needed to get a specialist and contact me the next day. It was like a whole fiasco.
A specialist.
Yeah.
We have to find a specialist, a.k.a. someone who actually knows how to work the systems.
Well, the funny thing was, is I was on the line with somebody. Then they said, all right, I'm going to put you through to tech, the internet technology help.
Oh, good.
So I was on with them for like, you know, 40, you know, half an hour, whatever it was the first time. And then he's the one that eventually said, I don't know what to do. I have to get a specialist. And I'm thinking, I thought you were the specialist. They transferred me to you. But whatever.
Oh, boy. Okay.
You might be a little bit better. One of the things that threw them off, clearly, was the fact that, you know, I'm going with our father, who has the same name as me.
Oh, that, forget that it.
Really?
Yeah, forget it. Yeah. That's never going to work, Mike.
Yeah, that was a disaster.
They'll never be able to figure out that there might be more than one person with the name. Because, you know, there's no family in the world where the son and the father have the same name. Only ours.
It's so ridiculous.
It's the only one. And the other reason why I would say I wouldn't want it is because from my understanding, and listen, folks, I do not immerse myself into these things, okay? I don't read this stuff. I don't really care, okay? But I'm being forced into these conversations about this because obviously it's coming down the road. And I go here a lot. And so I need to know what it is. But the first thing is my understanding is if you book one of these FastPass Plus reservations, then you are not capable of using the regular FastPass system. So you only have 3 FastPasses to use for the day, and they're not fluid. So if something changes in your plan, like, oh, I have a stomach ache. Oh, my wife needs to go back and take her whatever medication that she forgot to bring. Oh, mm-hmm. You know, what? 1,000 things could happen in a trip. We all know this.
Sure.
I now don't have the option to go and get a regular fast pass to ride something I want to ride and a reservation that I can no longer get because they're either all full for the day or I've passed mine.
Okay. So you are partially correct. My understanding and this, I have not tested this out, and I might when I go down there. But if you have key to, you know, your regular, like I have an annual pass. That's, you know, I still have a paper annual pass. Apparently, I could still get regular fast passes too. I've heard that online. I'm going to give it a shot. I'm going to see what happens. Even if I don't use them, just for the hell of it, see if I actually come up with them. Now, in terms of the fluidity of it, and you are correct. I mean, at some point in time, the regular fast, I mean, I don't know if the regular FastPass system is ever going to go away completely because there are people who have no idea what's going on. But be that as it may, in terms of fluidity, you can change your FastPasses even the day. So if you wake up and you feel like crap and you say, I am not going to the Animal Kingdom this morning, let's just sleep in and, you know, we'll go to Epcot tonight. You can switch them that day up until the time your first one hits. You can switch them.
Assuming
what you want is available. And I have no idea how quickly these things are going to go. I mean, I could tell you right now for the trial period, if you're trying these out now, you're not going to run into a problem of things being booked.
But that's now.
At some point when everybody's going to be involved with this, I don't know if that's going to be necessarily true. So you are correct in that regard. So,
okay.
You know, you have fast passes for whatever in the morning and you want to switch it tonight, you can right now. But I don't know how easy that's going to be once this is the full-blown thing.
Okay, so let's move on to the Animal Kingdom specifically.
Right, let's talk. Actually, before we do that, let's talk about a couple of the things that you have to do in terms to book it. And this has to do with Animal Kingdom, but it's more of a broad thing.
Okay.
Number one is, as we already said, you only get 3 per day. No matter what you want, you only get 3. Number two is you can only use them in one park at a time per day, which makes zero sense to me. For anybody who has an annual pass or a park hopper, you should be able to book, you know, you could book, you know, one for each park if you want to. I suspect once they're done testing it, they'll allow that, I would assume.
But okay, whoa.
Yeah.
So If I go to the Animal Kingdom in the morning.
Correct.
And that night, I go to Epcot.
Correct.
And I book myself Fast Pass Plus reservations for my time at Epcot.
Right.
That means when I go to the Animal Kingdom that morning, I have no way to access any Fast Pass at all.
Correct.
All right. There's a good reason not to do it, but okay.
That's a pretty good reason to do it, not to do it. Now, having said that, you know, as we've said before, we go off time. So if you're rope dropping Animal Kingdom, you could probably do it without Fast Pass. And then book your Fast Passes at night for Soarin' and Test Track or whatever, which, you know, you would never be able to do really at night. I mean, let's be honest. I mean, if you're showing up at 5 o'clock at Epcot, you're never getting into Soarin'. The Fast Passes are all gone.
Sure.
And, you know, all that kind of stuff. So, I mean, there are some pluses and minuses to it for sure. But that is a definite minus. So, yes, you can only use one park. Now, having again, I think once they're done testing this, I don't see any reason why you can't book, you know, two Animal Kingdom Fast Passes and then the Soarin' one at night. It really makes no sense. I suspect that may change once they're done testing it. That might be something that's only set here for the testing phase.
Right.
But I don't know that for a fact. I'm just guessing. But anyway, that's what you do.
Okay, and the last question before we move on, the bands themselves.
Yes.
You now have, I mean, for annual pass holders, you can't get rid of your paper annual pass because they haven't cracked the technology yet to make sure you get your annual pass merchandise discount by simply using your bands. That's just a step too far for the computer technology there. I didn't even hear that.
That's true.
So you still have to carry your normal annual pass, your paper annual pass with you if you want to buy something while you're there. I mean, who does, right?
Yeah. But so, and don't forget, though, if you do have those paper fast passes, apparently you can still get regular fast passes.
Well, that's for now. You know, 5 years from now, they'll figure that one out.
You're assuming they've completely gotten rid of the old fast pass system by then. But you go ahead.
No, it'll be like how we used to hang on to our fast passes for weeks and use them, right? You know. Now, it took them years before they realized, oh, maybe we should crack down on that. But maybe they'll figure out something eventually. Okay, so there's no specific benefit of the Magic Band.
As opposed to what?
As opposed to your key. You have to have the bands to do the Fast Pass Plus, but the bands themselves aren't any better in any way.
No, not really.
They're just tickets on your wrist instead of in your pocket.
Yeah, I mean, theoretically, assuming they crack the technology of being, you know, not needing your actual ticket to get the discounts, it does. I mean, the best thing about it would probably be the water parks. You don't have to bring your wallet or anything like that. I mean, you can just leave all that home.
Yeah.
You just have your band. That's probably where it really helps you the most.
That's cool.
But, I mean, you don't necessarily need to carry stuff with you with the Magic Band. But, I mean, as you said, I mean, I'm still bringing my wallet. I mean, I'm not going to.
Of course. Everybody is.
I mean, yeah. I mean, I guess in theory I don't have to, but I mean, it's.
Everyone is. Yeah.
Yeah. So.
Okay. So let's move on to the Animal Kingdom.
All right. So let's talk about how to actually book Fast Passes Plus.
Eek.
So you have to go on the website. I'm going to talk about the website.
Okay.
Because that's how I did it. Basically, what you do is you click on your park. So let's say you want to go to the Animal Kingdom. We'll obviously keep it to the Animal Kingdom. It then brings you a list of all the different things that you can click on or reserve. And those are Dinosaur, Everest, Festival of the Lion King, Finding Nemo the Musical, Tough to Be a Bug, Kali River Rapids, Kilimanjaro Safaris, and Primeval World. Now, when I first went on there, it also had the Adventurers Outpost meet and greet with Mickey and Minnie. And I was under the impression that that was going to be there.
I was too.
It said on there, when you first went to click on, when it was there, it was, you know, not available under refurbishment. Which is exactly what they said for Peter Pan's Flight, which is actually under refurbishment in October.
Okay.
I don't think Adventurer's Outpost is going under refurbishment. Now, having said that, I've gone back recently to prepare for this episode. I was going to, you know, pick a different day. The day we arrived, we didn't have any fast passes anyway. It's now no longer even listed. So I'm not exactly sure what's going on. I don't know if it's they're going to bring it back. I have no idea.
They got to call an expert.
It is listed. Yeah, exactly. It is listed on other sections of the website, which I'll get to in a few minutes.
Right.
For right now, it's not listed as a possible FastPass Plus. I hope to God that it doesn't become a FastPass Plus only, like the mini thing we were talking about before.
Right, right.
I don't think so. I wouldn't doubt it if at some point in the future they do like one or two of those in Animal Kingdom, maybe Timon and Pumbaa over in the new Harambe section, or there will be a FastPass, whatever. But for right now, those eight are the FastPass Plus options, and you get three. You cannot book more than one for a single attraction. So you can't do three Everests, for example. You can only do one of each.
Well, now, I believe on this paper somewhere it says I can customize my vacation how I want to do it.
No, you can't. That's a lie. pretty words, but not true.
Okay.
Now here we go to the rather odd part. You click your three. Pick whatever three you want. And for all of our guests, or all of our listeners, I should say, please don't pick Festival of the Lion King, Finding Nemo the Musical, or It's Tough to Be a Bug. There is zero reason to pick a large theater for a FastPass Plus. There's absolutely zero reason. Maybe if you're there New Year's Day and it gets crowded, but even that, I would say absolutely not.
Yeah, and we've talked about this a couple of times, that there that with the Animal Kingdom, there really are only,
There's five.
I mean,
if you limit those three, just take those three out of there's five others. Dinosaur, Everest, Kali, Kilimanjaro, and Primeval World.
Right. And Dinosaur, and on certain times of year, you wouldn't want to waste a fast pass on.
Absolutely not. And even Primeval World. Absolutely not. That leaves you with three.
And Kali is only when it's hot.
Correct, but I mean, from April.
You walk on Kali if it's not 85 degrees.
That's true. So, that leaves you down to two. So, I mean, everybody's going to pick the same two.
Of course.
To be honest. But before we get there, so you pick your three. You then enter, those are the three you want. I don't know why this is true, but Disney then throws at you four options, and they're bizarre options. So they are, it'll say Dinosaur from 10:05 to 11:05. I'm just going to pick three attractions. I'm going to pick Dinosaur, Everest, and Kali, just for the sake of argument.
Okay.
Dinosaur is going to come up. They'll give you option A will be Dinosaur from 10:05 to 11:05, Everest from 1:20 to 2:20, and Kali from 3:30 to 4:30. And there'll be four different options like this, and they're all various different times.
Okay.
Which is completely useless for you. Because, I mean, most people who are going to be doing this are just going to try to pick the three they want and do it. Pick the ones that you don't want at all. And this is what I mean by that. So if you pick, let's say Dinosaur or whatever, like one of them's early in the morning, but you want to do another attraction at 10 o'clock instead of Dinosaur, you can't switch your Kali to 10 while you still have a Dinosaur there. So what I did was when I pick these, so after you pick them, okay, you can then edit them to what you want. So it makes sense to pick ones that are nowhere near where you actually want to go. So I would pick ones that are all like in the late afternoon, like whatever option was for all late in the afternoon, I would pick. And then I would just edit it, bring whatever I wanted over to where I wanted to go. And so when you do that, so let's say under that scenario, Dinosaur, Everest, I can move Dinosaur from 9 to 10, Everest from 10 to 11, and Kali from, I did it from 12 to 1, figuring that would be the last thing I would want to do. I would have my dinner or my lunch and then ride Kali and go home soaking wet. So it's important that you realize that once you pick these, you get to edit them and edit them the way you want. So make sure you're not screwing yourself up and doing a lot more shuffling around than you really need to. and make sure all of them are booked for well away from where you're actually going to want them. Go in ahead of time thinking, I want Everest from 9, I want whatever at 10, and I want whatever at 11, or whatever times you want. Does that make sense? It's difficult, I know.
It makes sense if my mind doesn't explode having to do this with impatience. But yes, it makes sense. Yes.
And I have to tell you, I'm the kind of person who loves this kind of stuff.
And I'm the kind of person who hates it.
Yeah. So I'm always looking at my dining reservations and, you know, like thinking about this and that. And this, I mean, I've shuffled things around constantly since then. just for funs. For whatever reason, too, by the when it gives you the random selections, it gives you all sorts of crazy times. Like, you could, it'll be like, you know, 12:40 to 1:40. But when you want to edit them, all the editing is at the top of the hour. So when you move your stuff, it's always going to be from 9 to 10, 10 to 9, 10 to 11. So when you click on, so let's say you did Dinosaur, and the one you randomly selected was from 12:40 to 1:40. When you want to edit it, you can go in there and select everybody. You have to select, you know, change your fast pass, change everybody in your party.
Oh, and God. Then
it, well, I mean, it's all like one click. So you click edit fast pass. You select all for everybody in your party. And then, you know, it goes, you select Dinosaur, the one you have for 12:40 or 1:40. It'll come up, you know, do you want 9 to 10, 10 to 11, blah, 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 blah. And it won't let you pick anywhere in the time frame where you have one of the other two fast passes. So you still have that problem where, as you do currently, where you can't have more than one fast pass at a given time, you can't have more than one fast pass plus at a given time either. So you can't have, you know, you can't have Kilimanjaro Safaris from 9 to 10, Everest from 9:10 to 10:10, and Dinosaur from, you know, 9:20 to 10:20. It has to be, they have to be separated by whatever the time period is.
Okay.
You can only get one per hour. So now, what is it that you do for Animal Kingdom? I mean, that's really the question we really want to answer. So the question is really, are you going to rope drop or not? And if you are, then you have to take into account what it is you want to rope drop. So let's say you're going to rope drop, Animal Kingdom. What are you going to do first? Is it going to be safari? Are you going to go rope run over there? Then don't book a fast pass for that. Use your fast pass pluses for any other things later on.
Right. Unless you want to do it twice.
Unless you want to do it twice. So that's the other thing. So let's say you want to do it twice. Let's say you want to do Everest twice.
Right.
So you go there first. You know, fast pass plus Kilimanjaro Safari from 9 to 10. Then, Dinosaur from 10 to 11, and then Everest for later on the day. So you rope drop Everest, run over there, enjoy Everest. Then you got your fast pass for Kilimanjaro Safari, and then you can do Dinosaur. And then, you know, later in the day, ride Everest again. I mean, I wouldn't ride him necessarily two times in a row. So you could spread it out like that too. The other thing I think this really helps, and I think it helps Animal Kingdom really more so than some other things, is that you have those animal trails. This, I think, opens up your time a little bit more to enjoy the animal trails first thing in the morning, where the animals are really active. I can tell you there's nothing better than walking through Maharaja Jungle Trek at 9 o'clock in the morning.
Sure.
But nobody does it.
Nobody does it.
Because it's, you know, you don't want to do it. But now you can. If you book your Fast Pass pluses for, you know, whatever, a safari, if you, let's say you do it at 10. At 10, Everest at 11, and something else at 12. Enjoy the animal trails first thing in the morning.
Makes perfect sense.
It's a great idea, I think. It also, well, anyway, so do you have any questions about that?
Oh, God, no.
The other interesting feature of the FastPass Plus is, you know, you can actually add essentially like your shows for the day. So if you want to, you're not booking a reservation for it, but what you can do is you can indicate where your shows that you're going to want to do, and you could put them on your quote-unquote schedule. So it'll be on your app. that you'll have around the, for the phone, you know, all that kind of stuff.
Right.
So, you know, it has Barutica Band on there. It has, you know, the Flights of Wonder. It has all those schedules. So you could say, hey, I'm going to make sure I get to the, you know, the 10:20 Flights of Wonder show. I'll put it on my schedule so that when you're looking at your app, you have your fast passes on there and you have these things. So if you want to go see Barutica, you have their show times right on there and you have the one you want to go see. So let's say you want the 11:40 or whatever it is. You can do that by planning it ahead of time. It's called, it's like just basically you view your shows and you can add things to do and stuff like that on your app.
I remember one time years ago, was sitting with my wife at Fantasmic, I think it was, and a couple sat next to us, and they pulled out their color-coded chart that they had made for themselves.
Yeah, sure.
That had on there all the times that they were going to go see things and mm-hmm. in what order they wanted to do it in. And now it appears as though Disney has seen that color-coded chart and is creating a process by which everyone could suffer from the same psychoses. here's the thing. You know, we always talk about the FastPass Plus mm-hmm. with regards to the Magic Kingdom when we talk about slow times. And we always say things like, you know, you don't really need it for here, that. The thing that kind of puzzles me a bit is when you're there, why would anyone do this when it's busy? Because when it's busy, now at the Animal Kingdom, you're talking about, like we said, there's five, you know, maybe. If you're there in the summer, you have, you know, a half a dozen attractions.
Right.
But certainly there's a lot more in other places that can pile up the lines. Now you only get three.
Yeah, but...
that just doesn't make any sense to me why you would want to do that.
I think you want to do it. Well, even at the, let's just talk about the Magic Kingdom for 1 second. So there, when it gets super crowded, you know, you're fast, even if you're getting fast passes during the course of the day, they could be for hours later just because all the fast passes are booked up.
Sure. If you don't do it right, but
yeah, but what you want to do is you want to book your fast passes for whatever, the Three Mountains, and do it at like 10, 11 and 12. Get there at 8 o'clock when the park opens and fast pass, you know, just rope drop everything else. People will be running to the mountains. You right. go to Fantasyland, you ride Haunted Mansion, you ride Peter Pan's Flight, you do the Storybook Circus.
Okay.
Bam, you got okay. all of that done. And then you have your fast passes for, you don't have to go right running around the parks to grab your fast passes when you need it. You already have them booked. You know, and when it's really crowded, you're going to be standing in some lines. There's just no avoiding that. Because I mean, you grab a fast pass, you could be there at show up at Big Thunder Mountain for fast passes, and then the next one available is like noon. You can't grab other fast passes while you're doing that. You got to wait 3 hours before you get your next one.
Okay.
I think the idea behind this is a solid one. I think I'm not sure if it's gonna work.
Well, you've officially pushed me into the maybe column.
Okay.
When I was in the non column, I was in the no. Now it's a maybe, because yeah, you're right. Probably in the busier times that I've gone there, I probably don't draw a fast pass any more than three times.
I never do.
Yeah, you're probably right. But I do feel bad for those who go there, you know, commando style, the parks from 8 o'clock in the morning to 12 o'clock at night, you know, and they do that. You know, they do draw probably more than those fast passes.
Right.
You know, so I do. Think that may be a mistake, but you know, only time will tell.
And you know, to be honest, I mean, Animal Kingdom might be the park. I mean, if you tour parks like I do, which is you change parks in the middle of the day, although apparently Animal Kingdom is going to be open till 8 o'clock at night one of the nights I'm there, so I'm very excited by this.
Right.
Be there at night. But anyway, Animal Kingdom might be a good one never to use the FastPass Plus for if you are there. You know, in a relatively crowded time, you know, use your FastPass Plus for the evening park. If you're going to go somewhere else, you know, like we were talking about before, book Soarin, book Test Track, book Maelstrom for nighttime.
Yeah, I've heard people have said that to use it in the evenings.
Right, and rope drop the Animal Kingdom, you know, hit Safari, hit Everest. Once you hit those two, you're pretty much in the clear, except for really crazy, crazy times. And it's crazy for everybody back then.
Right.
So I'm looking at my schedule now for, you know, Wednesday, October 9th when I'm there. So I have a fast pass for Kilimanjaro Safaris at 9. I then on my schedule have, hey, meet Russell and Doug starting at 10 o'clock. And it says, reminder, this is not a reservation. I then have fast pass for Everest from 10 to 11. It then says time overlap, and there's a Flights of Wonder stage show at 10:30. So I'll hit Everest at 10, march over to Flights of Wonder right next door for 10:30. I'd have a Festival of the Lion King has an 11:30 show. I have that on my schedule. If I, you know, it's again, it reminds me this is not a reservation.
Uh-huh.
And then I have a Kali River Rapids at from 12 to 1. So I'm thinking Festival of the Lion King, see that at 11:30, grab a bite to eat, hit Kali River Rapids, then go take a nap.
So you have your whole day pedantically planned out.
Pretty much, but there's plenty of time. By doing this, there's plenty of time. I mean, I'm not necessarily going to go meet Russell and Doug, whatever.
Oh, sure you will.
I do like Russell and Doug. Those are two of my favorites.
I
know. We met them last time we were there. But anyway, you know, this leaves me plenty of time to, you know, after the safaris, maybe walk through Pangani at 9:30. I don't have to worry about running over to Everest to grab fast passes or making sure I get there on time or whatever. I could take my time getting over there. I can get there at like 10:15, ride it.
Okay.
Or 10 o'clock and then enjoy Flights of One. I mean, it just, it helps. It really does help the people who know what they're doing, to be brutally honest. You know, there's going to be plenty of people, to be fair, who are going to look at this, never been to Disney, or maybe were there 6 years ago, and are going to, hey, I heard Festival of Lion King is good. There's an 11:30 show. I'll book that. And, you know, Expedition Everest, I'll book that. And they'll, you know, they'll go on and they'll pick one of those random options that throw it all over the place and, like, not realize they can change it or anything like that. You know, it's going to help the people who are in the know, and hopefully we're helping people become in the know.
Yeah. All right. Well, you think you covered it all there?
I think I have everything I want to talk about. And don't forget, the only thing I will tell you is don't forget you can change it, even that day. So I think the idea is once...
10 times a day, if you'd like.
Yeah, exactly. So, like, but I think you're... set once the first one for the day hits. So this will help the people who are booking their fast pass pluses for the night. They can always change. So if you know you were doing what I just talked about before, hitting Animal Kingdom in the morning and doing fast pass plusing for the evening, and you know you're sitting around Animal Kingdom and you say, you know what, let's go to the Magic Kingdom instead, you can still, you know, hop on your app and change things to what you want, assuming, you know, they have what you want. So that is a option. Don't forget that.
Do you know if you're using a travel agent, if they can do it for you like they can with the dining reservations and stuff?
I don't know. I would assume they could. I'll have to ask Jen that because, you know, she's my travel agent and she booked my trip.
Right. Because I would say, I would say, you know, specifically just to throw Jennifer Green at destinationsinflorida.com, another little quick plug here like we did at the top of the show. I mean... You know, for those people who are folks, and listen, I know there's a lot of Disney travelers out there like this, who they look forward to booking each and every dining reservation. They look forward, you know, they examine the schedules and they make sure they I understand. That's a big part of a lot of Disney travel.
Two thumbs pointing at this guy right here.
Right. And for those people, this is a dream come true. You know, you can go crazy with this. For people like me, who I don't really care to do that. This is kind of almost like, you know, you're afraid of stepping into a nightmare, you know? So, if a travel agent can do it, that's probably a good way to go about it. I mean, at least that's somebody who can help you with the, you know, but I don't know for sure yet if they can. So we'll find that information out for you.
Yeah, we'll find that. We'll
let you know. Yeah.
Yeah, we'll let you know. Yeah, but, the only thing I would say to you, Dave, is you might want to give it a shot now where it's pretty easy to...
Where it won't drive me insane yet?
As I said at the beginning, since we're in the test phase, you don't really have to worry about, you know, soaring being booked throughout the entire day.
Okay.
Pretty much get what you want to test it out because I suspect that maybe a year from now when everybody's doing this, it might not be that easy. You might need to book your stuff 2 months in advance, like
right,
you know, like you have to.
Okay. Sounds like fun. Let me put together an entire afternoon on the computer for that. All right. Well, that'll do it for us. Thanks once again for listening to Radio Harambe. Go to JomboEveryone.com, our website. You find everything you need to know about Disney's Animal Kingdom, reviews, attractions, restaurants, show stuff, loads of photo galleries, lots of information about animals and conservation. You can find us on Twitter. You can find me and tweet all your, you know, things I don't know about FastPass Plus to me at Radio Harambe. You could tweet all the rest to Safari Mike. He is at Jombo Everyone. We're also on Facebook and YouTube. You can find us on there. All those links can be found at JomboEveryone.com. There's some great new videos going up on the YouTube channel as well, and I have plans when we go down there the next time to add to those quite a bit. I'd like to also mention our conservation store, where we are donating a large portion of all of the profits we make off that to our conservation partners. That's why we're trying to raise some funds for them. Go to Zazzle.com/JomboEveryone. We have some new stuff in the works. We released recently our Not a Half Day Park t-shirt, which I love. And we have some new stuff coming in the not too distant future. We ask you also to subscribe to the show on iTunes. Rate us and leave us a review there as well. It really does help us to get the word out. You can also listen to us on Stitcher and on Podbean, where the show is always posted. So don't forget to do all those things. So for Safari Mike, I am Dave McBride. Kwaharini, go well, and thank you for listening to Radio Harambe.